there's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Oh, it's Silly Underdog time here on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, and the Commissioner, Willie Donick, alongside. We say hello to our other two panelists. Former quarterback, longtime quarterback in the NFL, MTSU, and he's on a roll, folks. This is where, if we were in playing basketball, they say the rim, you know, looks about 5 feet wide for him right now. That's how big it looks. Kelly Holcomb. Kelly, how you doing?
What's up, suckers?
That's always a sign he's doing well.
Hey, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's probably, I assume that Chris is he still winless?
Yeah. I think you know from our group text that answer. So, with that being said, I guess let's bring in the winless forever Titan, Chris Sanders. Chris, how's the mood right now?
Hey, okay, first of all, before we start this off, I don't like none of y'all. I'm just saying it right now. I don't like none of y'all.
Now, wait a minute. Who are we talking to, Chris or Dwayne?
This is Dwayne talking.
Okay,
that's what I figured.
Okay. I don't like y'all right
Chris
now.
Chris isn't,
I mean,
like
nobody,
that.
Nobody's been consoling me like Chris is going to be okay. No pep talk. No nothing. I'm just letting you know I don't like nary one of y'all. Not none of y'all. Nary one of y'all.
Well, we're not sure who we were getting last year. I think what may be happening is we heard a lot from you last year, and I mean a lot. And maybe this is just turnabout as fair play, you know?
But it ain't over yet, though, buddy.
I know. You keep telling us that. And Kelly keeps questioning your predictions that you've made.
Hey, Kelly, let me ask you, who won last year, Kelly?
Hey, you did. There's no question. I mean, I'm just waiting on 72, though. You better get your better half to start guessing your games again, Hoss.
Champion, I'm going to get it, man. Hey, it ain't how you start, it's how you finish. That's what my mama told me. So I'm going to believe what mama said.
That's a good cliche to go with.
Hey, keep the NFL guys off the campus, too.
Oh, wow. Oh, we're going there. Okay.
Oh, we went there pretty hard last week.
Wow.
Hey, they need to come to our campus even more the way they played on Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There you go.
Nice,
there you go.
Nice comeback. Nicely done. Boy.
Tell your thoughts. Oh,
this thing's getting scary, man. This is good.
It, man.
I like it.
Hey, stay away from each other. 6 foot distance, man. Let's go.
Hey, man, when I see you, I'm going to trip you, man. I ain't going to say it. I'm just going to trip you. That's exactly what I'm going to do, man.
Willie.
Don't be a hater.
Commissioner, jump in here and let's review. Willie. Oh, Willie
D. Willie D. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking. Welcome back to Silly Underdog Picks 2020. New twists, more fun with the pros involved now. We've got our new online contest that we play every week. Remember, join in. Even if you haven't played to this point, go for the weekly prize. It's fun. It makes the games more exciting on the weekend when you watch. And our online winner, congratulations to him last week, was James Moore from Manchester. He won in a tiebreaker, so make sure you fill out the tiebreaker part of this when you make your picks every week at thegamenashville.com. So congratulations to James. Let's check in with the insiders and see what happened. Darren McFarland had the first pick of the week, which means he had the last pick of the week as well. Remember, we snake the draft because we make two picks a week now with the insiders. You make three if you play the online contest. Darren came in just a point out of the lead. He went with Texas A&M in the big game against Florida. A lot of doubters with Jimbo Fisher. A lot of, are we getting the return from the investment? They came from behind and kicked a field goal on the last play of the game to win 41-38. And so Darren gets the Aggies for 6.5 big ones. That was an exciting game.
Very exciting.
I was watching from P.F. Chang's in Cool Springs and screaming at the TV at the bar.
Well, wow. I was watching from a sports book in Evansville.
As it was pouring down rain. But there was sunshine in my life at that moment.
There was sunshine in that moment. Now, for Chase McCabe, he took the Wolfpack of NC State, a 7.5-point dog against the Virginia Cavaliers. Good pick, Chase. Chase didn't need a field goal on the last play of the game. The Wolfpack won it 38-21. Chase picks up 7.5 points.
Yeah, it was big. I was feeling good. There was a little trash talking in the group text, and everybody but one was feeling good on Saturday. So
let's get out of the bag. Okay.
Yep. Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Earmuffs, Chris or Dwayne.
Yeah, I love you.
No, you don't.
did I tell you I don't like none of y'all right now?
You've made that pretty clear.
Okay, thanks.
That brings us to Kelly Holcomb, the leader in the competition coming in.
Another winner.
Red hot. And he selected the midshipman of Navy. They came in as a 3.5-point dog playing against Temple, who had not played a game yet on the season. Remember, Navy got beat. What was the score? 50-3 in their first game?
Yeah, BYU is pretty good, though.
BYU is pretty good, and as we see, Navy is pretty good. They win it 31-29. They were ahead. They had a big lead. Yeah, it was at one point at the end of the third quarter, the score was 28-17, but they win it by a score of 31-29. And so, Kelly, and in fact, if you didn't see the game, Temple scored late in the game, went for two and missed. That would have tied it pretty late in the fourth quarter. So Navy hangs on. They get the dub. And Kelly gets another victory. And it wouldn't be his last victory of the week. We'll get to that in a moment.
Well, I was biting my nails because I was keeping up with it. I was biting my nails at the end when they scored because they got out to a nice lead. And then there at the end, here comes the Temple Owls. And, you know, hey, the first game, I knew it was going to be tough for those guys. So, hey, we got to win.
The other thing that was interesting about the way the scoring fell, I didn't see the game, but Temple earlier in the game had gone for two and missed. So they started chasing the two, which is always the debate we have. When should you start going for two? If they had just kicked the extra points earlier, they would have kicked an extra point to tie, in theory, on the last play. So we'll never know. But Kelly gets the dub. We move on to Chris Sanders, the defending champion, who is off to the rough start, has been referenced before. And this is another heartbreaker. Chris, I feel for you, man. You've had two huge underdogs that have had victory in their hands and let it slip. This week, earlier in the year, it was Texas Tech against Texas. This is still the biggest mystery. They were up 56-41 with 4 minutes to go and lost in overtime. This past week at Arkansas, 13.5-point dog at Auburn. They lose 30-28 on a field goal late in the game. Arkansas had the 28-27 lead. Auburn tries to spike the ball, fumbled the snap, spiked it backwards. Arkansas appeared to have recovered, but the lead gave it kind of a wishy-washy mumbo-jumbo. It was reviewed, and we couldn't get the clear recovery, so Auburn got a chance to kick it and made it. So, Chris, no points for a cover. Sorry.
Hey, it crushed me, man. It's funny because my dad was like, I mean, not my dad, my son was watching me how I was reacting. He said he wished he would have told me how my body language just went to like jello after they made it. I mean, I was flat out done. I just went in my room and closed the door. Seriously, I just closed my door, didn't want to talk to anybody. seriously, my daughter knocked on the door. She's like, Dad, you okay? I didn't answer because I didn't want to talk to absolutely nobody.
You think you were playing the game?
What's that?
Said you would think you were playing the game.
Man, I was done. I was seriously mad. I mean, I was mad.
That was a wild one.
It was a heartbreaker.
While we've enjoyed piling on with you, it's also been, I mean, I think I've said it in the group text, you have had some brutal losses.
But guess what? It ain't how you start. Yeah, how you finish.
That's true, Coach. That's right.
Well, Chris, you went in the pros with another, staying with your philosophy, going with the big dog. You took the Bengals, a 13-point dog in Baltimore against the Ravens, and that didn't work out so well. The Bengals, congratulations, though, on the field goal they kicked.
Yeah.
Very late in the game to avoid the shutout. The Ravens were thrilled. Now, Kelly, I want to ask you, is that an unwritten rule? And, Chris, you weigh in on this.
Sure.
At the end of a game, if you're way behind, would you ever do what the Bengals did, or should you always just go for it? If you're going to break the shutout, you break it with the touchdown. Kind of like bunting for a single if the other guy's got a no-hitter and you're way behind?
Man, you just got to get some points at that situation. I mean, it can be 7 or 3 because you just don't want to have a shutout.
I mean, I'm going for it.
Hold on, you both started talking at the same time, so let's get Kelly first.
Okay, go ahead.
I said for me, if I'm a coach, I'm going for it. I'm not kicking a field goal just to get on the board. But you know what? I threw a lot of this is really bad, but I threw a lot of interceptions at the end of games because I wouldn't give up. And I remember my quarterback coach coming in there and saying, "The game is over. Why do you do that?" And I'm like, "Because I'm not quitting." So that's just my personality.
Don't give me that coach talk.
Don't give me that coach talk. That's flat out coach. Hey, we're going to give 110. Get out of here. I'm kicking a field goal. And I'm getting some points, man.
Hey, that's why you're winless right now,
Hall.
Wow. Well, I guess you're right, buddy.
So our experts differ.
Who has the Ravens D in fantasy football, I strongly oppose that field goal. That was ridiculous.
That cost you the shutout,
yeah.
I think the Ravens defensive coordinator said something about it today. Kelly had the Dolphins with his second pick, 9-point dog in San Fran against the 49ers.
Wow.
Not only did they win, they dominated from the start. They won easy. So 9 points for Kelly. He's on fire, 2-0 on the week, and he is up to 38.5 points. Well done.
Not only did they win, but they won by 26.
It was a whitewashing. They crushed him.
Crazy. Yeah, absolutely. Go Fins.
The Fins, who have been picked a bunch in the contest, but had not come through for anybody until this week. So
y'all picked them on the wrong week.
Yeah, 49ers kind of looking around going, wait a minute, what happened to the team that was in the Super Bowl last year? They're looking shaky.
They're hurt.
They got some injury issues.
At home watching.
Got issues. Chase McCabe with the third pick had the Vikings. Oh, there's a game that had some drama. 7-point dog at the Seahawks. Chase is still bitter at going for it. So let's ask our panel again, Chris and Kelly. What did you think of we'll go with Chris first on this one. Going for it, 4th and 1, they had run for 200 yards. If they get the 1 yard, they basically can either run out the clock or score a touchdown that puts the game out of reach. And the other option, of course, was to kick the field goal to go up by 8, but then give the ball back to Russell Wilson. Was it the right call or no? Chris?
What do you say?
Good stuff. Kelly, what do you got?
Kelly, what do you got?
I don't know. I was thinking kick the field goal at that time.
Chase, Kelly agrees with you. Chase thinks that Mike Zimmer should be fired for not kicking the field goal going up 8.
I have calls into Minnesota this week to Rick Spielman and to Ziggy Wolf. I have been told to quit calling them, asking for Mike Zimmer to be fired. But yeah,
somebody get this fool blocked. Block this guy, baby.
Well, my whole
don't let him call. Change the number.
If you kick the field goal, then you at least they've got to score. Plus, they've got to make the 2-point conversion.
Right.
So that's kind of
right.
That's my thinking.
Yep. You had a lot of people agree. Darren had the last pick.
How many points do I have?
Chase, you are right now at 22.5. As we recap, the last pick was Darren. He took the football team. Who's your favorite football team? Football team. At Washington, they were a 7-point dog against the Rams. The Rams continue to move forward, playing some really good football. Not a whole lot of hype behind it, but they're getting the job done. And Darren, you go 1-1 on the week. So here are the standings as we get ready to make the picks this week. Kelly has the lead. He's red hot. He's won 4 straight, 7-3, 38.5 points. Darren goes 1-1 on the week. He's in second with 31.5, so 7 back. Chase with 22.5 and 4 wins is in third place. And then bringing up the rear, Chris Sanders, 0-10, still looking for the breakthrough. It's a woulda, coulda, shoulda, Chris, but if you'd have had Arkansas and Texas, I realize that there's no points for being close in this.
I'm telling you.
The
picture would look
quite a bit different, for sure.
I'm telling you, by the end of the season, I'll still be holding the trophy.
So you would have had, just for example, if you would have had 31.5 if you'd just won those two. You could be 2-8, but 31.5. Yeah. But that is the philosophy that's gotten you this far. All right, let's turn the page. This week's picks coming, Silly Underdogs 2020, next here on 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It is time for the Silly Underdog Picks, week number 6. Remember, you can play at thegamenashville.com. First up, Chase McCabe, currently third place, 16 points back.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
All right, so I've been going back and forth on this since I have the first pick. I know I need points, but I also have a theory on something, and I'm going to try it. It could blow up in my face. The team I'm going to pick scored 2 points last week.
Oh, man.
Got demoralized. This makes me feel better. Thank you, Darren. And the team that they're playing had a big win as an underdog, and I think they could overlook them. I'm going to go Mississippi State plus the 5.5.
That was my number one pick.
The Bulldogs of Mississippi State are
I feel really good then.
5.5-point home dog against the Aggies of Texas A&M, who had, of course, the big win against Florida. Mississippi State scored a grand total of 2 points in the 24-2 loss to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. All right. We got to move at a fast pace. Let's go to Kelly Holcomb, the current leader in the competition.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I'm on fire.
Okay, I'm going to go off the reservation this week, and this game is probably on HGTV. But I am going to go with. I'm going to say UTEP.
Oh my God.
Beat Southern Miss.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Was that yours?
Dude.
Yes.
That's on a PBS channel.
That's on ESPN2, man.
What?
Oh, God. I looked at that one.
It is.
It should be on a cooking channel. Is that your other pick there, Dan?
Yes.
Yes.
The Miners of UTEP, Texas El Paso, 3-2 on the season. They are a 6.5-point home dog against Southern Miss, coming in at 1-3. So the 1-3 team is actually favored on the road by 6.5 against the 3-2 team in Conference USA. Hmm. So, Darren, you actually had that. Mm-hmm. That was yours. You were on the radar there.
I don't know much about them. I just don't know why a 1-3 team is favored by 6.5 on the road.
We shall find out soon enough. All right, that brings us to Chris Sanders, looking to get on the board.
Here we go. Well, here we go. Here's the start of something great. And when I say this, guys, please don't laugh. I'm going with you. UMass over Georgia Southern.
Hmm.
Oh, really? You're going to laugh at me like that? I said don't laugh.
UMass.
But I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh on next Thursday, baby.
31 points?
Yes.
UMass,
UMass still
has a team?
Holy moly.
Okay.
The Minutemen of UMass, this will be their opener for the season. They haven't played.
Probably their first and last game of the season. Now that Chris is.
So y'all just going to laugh at me like that, right?
They are now an independent.
First game
clearly.
In 10 years.
Wait, Tajay Sharp could have some fans, some people.
Oh,
he might be
goodness.
Take offense to this. But
really, really?
Massachusetts is a 31-point dog at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern is 2-1 on the season. Now, this is an intriguing pick. Wow. This game actually is Saturday afternoon at 3 on ESPNU, so you can watch this.
Why anybody would do that? No idea.
Hey, it's going to be the biggest upset of the whole year.
Wow, okay. I just thought it would be the routine 18 or 19 point dog when he said don't laugh.
I thought he was going Louisville.
He goes 31.
Something like that.
Wow.
I'd definitely put him back in. Right. Right in the mix.
The mystery of the Minutemen, the opening week.
Nobody
for them.
Knows.
Nobody knows. All right, that brings us to Darren McFarland, who has not one but two picks, the final college and the opening pro.
the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer. And I am a believer, even though my first two picks were taken. I'm going to go UTSA. UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, at home against Army and the 7.5.
Wow, we have got some obscure games for you to pick.
That was another, Darren, that was another one of my picks.
Yeah. That was on, that's on CBS Sports Network, so you can actually watch this.
I looked at it. Army just scares me. So that's why I stayed away from it. But
I know, but you don't like Army now that Darrington Evans doesn't play for them anymore because you've picked them when they were the underdog. Or they were the favorite. You've picked
Darrington Evans didn't play for Army. He played for App State.
Yeah, you're right. Wrong AW. Whoops.
So much for that.
That was a whoops. That's right. You went against App State, right?
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Texas San Antonio is a 7.5 point home dog at 3-2 on the season, hosting Army, who is 4-1 coming in. So, with that, we move on to Darren's pro pick.
Well, I'm scared of the Vikings-Falcons game because I don't know what's going to happen there. So,
although it doesn't appear to be as serious as initially reported. So, you still got a shot.
But you don't know if that game...
But you never know what's coming up around the corner, right? You never know, as we've learned.
I don't believe the Bills bounce back and beat the Chiefs. I don't love these games.
We've got indecision.
I know. I don't love these games. I'm just not in love with the games. This is going to be a nasty game. This is the revenge. This is the game from last Thursday in November, which became the topic the next day on Friday. Myles Garrett will be back in the lineup. I'll take the Browns at 3.5.
All right.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
The Browns are a 3.5 point dog on the road at 4-1 against the undefeated Steelers Sunday at noon. All right, that moves us to Chris Sanders for his pro pick.
I'm going with New York over Miami.
This would be the J-E-T-S.
Jets? You're taking the Jets.
New York Jets. The reason why I'm picking them is because every time Miami wins a big game, the next game they look like they never played football before.
But the Jets don't win games, so that's a problem.
Full disclosure, I thought about it.
No, they haven't gotten rid of Gase. Did I miss that?
No, they haven't gotten rid of Gase.
No,
I mean, not rid of Gase, but rid of
Le'Veon
the running
Bell.
Back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, no Le'Veon Bell. Let's see if it's addition by subtraction. The 0-5 Jets are a 9.5-point dog on the road against the 2-3 Dolphins coming off the big win in San Fran. That brings us to the leader, Kelly Holcomb. Can he keep it rolling?
Well, I was going to pick my old team, but Darren took that one. I took his pick, obviously, so turnabout is fair play. It's awesome, Darren. Thank you. So I'm going to say the Giants will get beat by the Washington Football Club.
So the Giants.
So
the Giants are involved and the Jets are involved.
Oof, boy, you're talking about a gross game.
The Giants somehow are favored in this game. They are playing at home.
What?
It shows you what the people think of the Washington football team, which goes back to one of the themes of the NFL this year. Somebody has to win the NFC East. So it is the football team, 2.5-point dog in the Meadowlands against the winless G-Men. That brings us to the final pick of the week, and that belongs to Chase McCabe.
Well, again, now I'm in the I need points, so got a weird feeling about this one. Give me the Bengals +8 on the road at Indy.
I don't hate it. It's not horrible.
I'm scrolling.
+8. Bengals getting 8.
Yep.
It's a noon game on Sunday.
The Bengals are an 8-point dog against the 3-2 Colts, who have some issues at quarterback. Pretty interesting to see. We'll see how Phillip Rivers bounces back, with some people suggesting that he will not finish the season as the starter, that Jacoby Brissett might overtake him. But this is a key game for them to get back on track. All right, let us review. Maestro, hit it. For the college picks, in week six, Chase McCabe, currently 16 points off the pace, starts with Mississippi State, a 5.5-point home dog against Texas A&M in the Battle of the Maroons. Kelly Holcomb coming in, having won four straight. He goes with the Miners of UTEP, a 6.5-point home dog taking on Southern Miss. Chris Sanders looking for a spark. He goes for the all-out Hail Mary, the Minutemen of UMass. 31-point, the underdog at Georgia Southern in their opening game of the season. Good luck, wow. UMass, who is an independent now, looking for a league, looking for a win. What will this game behold? We will see. Darren McFarlane stays with the U theme. We had UTEP, we had UMass, so how about UT San Antonio? A 7.5-point home dog taking on Army as they come to town. The Black Knights of the Hudson are 4-1. We'll see if UTSA can pull off the upset. Darren kept it rolling with his next pick in the pros and went with the Cleveland Browns, a 3.5-point dog in Pittsburgh against the undefeated Steelers. Ooh, nasty rivalry. A lot of bad blood. The last time they met, this will be interesting. Chris Sanders, with his second pick, goes with the winless Jets. They're a mess. They kick Le'Veon Bell to the curb. They're going to go with the veteran Joe Flacco, and they will take on the Miami Dolphins, riding high after their big win out west. Jets are a 9.5-point dog. Kelly Holcomb selects the football team, the Washington football team, a 2.5-point dog against the winless Giants, which begs the question that we've been asking. Who will win first, the Jets or the Giants? And Chase McCabe had the final pick. He goes with the Bengals, an 8-point dog against the Colts, who are coming off of the rough loss in Cleveland against the Browns. We'll see how they bounce back. Remember, you can play with us by going to thegamenashville.com. We invite you to do so every week. We've got the weekly prizes. And remember to get your picks before kickoff on Saturday morning. Those are our picks for week number six. Gentlemen, good luck.
Thank you, Commissioner.
You're right.
Guys, hey, thank you as always. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys. All right.
Hey, it just came across the wires, guys, that UMass canceled their program.
Walk off.
And you know what happened? The line didn't even move.
Nope.
Kelly Holcomb and Forever Titan. Chris Sanders, or is it Dwayne?
UMass.
I don't know who he is. He just keeps making silly picks. We'll come back. We'll hear from Predators GM David Boyle on the other side. Darren Tonic and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. David Boyle, Predators general manager, spoke with the media a little bit earlier today, and this is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Here's David Boyle.
Thank you, Kevin. Welcome, everybody. We're almost to the NHL's off season here in mid-October, kind of a unique situation for us. Hopefully we can get back on track with a schedule announcement in the near future and get the season rolling. Today, Kevin wanted me to talk with you about free agency. So our objective is going into free agency. We're to kind of to retool our team a bit, specifically strengthen our forwards, be a harder group of forwards to play against, and then also to improve our third pair, defensive pair. And I think by the signings that we've made that we've accomplished those goals. First of all, we added Mark Borowiecki, who has an element on the back end. I think that's something we've been lacking the past couple of seasons. He adds a level of grit and physicality that we need to get back to playing, to a new standard, if you will, in that type of area of the game of physicality and grit. In addition, it's pretty obvious in watching him play and then having some conversations with him this past week that he's going to bring a lot of veteran leadership to our hockey club. Next, we signed another defenseman, Matt Benning. He was one of the younger free agents that just on the market. He's 26, I believe. Very, very steady two-way defenseman that, you know, can play against the opposition's top line. I also think that, you know, he can play with that little bit of a physical element, if you will. If Borowicki and Benning, for example, play together on our third pair and they're able to be the first ones off the bench to kill penalties and play a little bit against the top lines of the other team, this should really free players up like Roman Josi and Ellis to play in a, even a more important role offensively for us. On the forward side of it, we signed Nick Cousins, who is as a player somewhat similar to Luke Cunningham in that he's a physical player. He's more of an in-your-face player. He's versatile, and he can play the wing. He can play center. And again, I think he can move up and down the lineups, and I think he can play a little bit on our specialty team. So I think he's a little bit of that Swiss Army knife type of a guy, again, a little bit of an agitator, a little bit of a disturber, something that we wanted to bring back into our lineup, throughout our lineup. And, one of our goals was to get younger, and I think we did that a little bit. But also, I think, in Brad Richardson, we signed a veteran player, a veteran presence, a guy that's won a Stanley Cup. And I really believe that, with trading Nick Bonino on our penalty killing, getting a left-hand shot, first out the off the bench, if you will, to kill penalties. Brad Richardson's he's a commensurate pro. He's played over 800 games, wore a letter in Arizona. And as I said, he won a cup in LA in 2012. So, I really think that's an area that we needed to address a little bit with our penalty killing hasn't been, as good as we want. And Brad Richardson is an excellent penalty killer. So as far as our roster next year, I think that we're getting, closer to the end of this free agency. A couple of things just to point out, I'd like our scoring to improve, but we are only one of seven teams that have 430 goal scorers with Joey, Duchesne, Forsberg, and Arvidsson. And, we need our top guys to play, more consistently and to provide more offense than they did last year. We also don't want to oversign, and we'd like to give some opportunities to some of our more highly touted prospects like Ilya Tolvanen that we've been watching him play on video in the KHL, and he looks really good. He looks like his game is maturing as it was last year, and I think he's going to get an excellent chance at training camp. Phil Tomasino, the young player that we took in the first pick a year ago, he's going to be playing in the World's Juniors for Canada, and that's going to be played even if it's in a bubble in Edmonton, so he might get a head start over a lot of our other players. And if we have a training camp situation, he could come in at that time, and who knows if he could win a spot. Also, Rem Pitlick is another guy with speed and some offensive abilities that we want to look at. Guys that have elements, a little bit of the physicality, the grit that we've talked about, Mike McCarron, Olivier, Janot, they also should get a good look at training camp. So we're in a good position. We've created some flexibility in our lineup and also with our salary cap. We are comfortably under the cap. I think that's a real good thing. I think that gives us that flexibility that every club would like at this time. There's not a lot of clubs that have that. I think we're open to opportunities, but it's not just signing a player for signing this player, if you will. I got to find the right player at the right time. But I think we're positioned to improve our club when that opportunity presents itself. So we've made a lot of changes. To me, we got three new defensemen and between three and five new forwards, and that's a lot of change, if you will. So again, just trying to change up a little bit and try to set a new and higher standard here with our teams in terms of our compete level. And I think we've done that with the players we've signed. So that's my opening remarks. Kevin, if you want to take over for leading questions, I guess.
Yes, we'll open it up for questions. Adam Vingan, you're first up.
Good morning, David. Good to see you. Just following up on your opening statement, I have two questions. The first, is it fair to say that you are finished in free agency? And two, how is this team better today than it was at the end of the postseason?
As I just said, I think we're open and we have cap space. I think we're going to look for opportunities. I think I'm making less calls, but I'm still receiving calls from agents about free agents, about teams that still would like to make some changes. There are some teams that have to do some things cap-wise. But if this was it, I think we've made a lot of changes, and I think we've made the necessary changes. In my mind, you're asking me if we're better. I mean, we have to see if we're better. Along with my staff, we're the ones that made these changes, and you can see the type of players that we have signed. We are not the same team as we were last year. We have a different makeup to our team. We certainly have a little bit more physicality, a little bit more grit, and I think it's probably and hopefully a better mix than we had last year.
All right, we'll go to Robbie Stanley next. Robbie, fire away.
David, would you like to see the top line with Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson left together? And if so, who do you envision playing right now with Matt Duchene?
I think we got to try once again to get the best two lines that we can get. And just talking with John a little bit, I think that most people think that we should give Luke Cunningham the best chance to be playing with Matt Duchene. With the thought process, as you stated, to keeping Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson as a line. And then I think you have lots of candidates to play on that second line. You have the obvious choice in my mind, at least in the long run, and that would be Tolvanen, you know, a goal scorer, you know, very, very dangerous player. That to me is probably one of the best guys we have, you know, for that position in the long run. Maybe it's Philip Tomasino. But within our group, and this is where I think the change has to be, is that we need a lot of guys that, regardless of where they start or play, they need to be moving up and down the lineup based on need, based on opponent, based on schedule. And I'm talking about almost everybody. You know, Nick Cousins could go up there. It could be Yarncroft that's done that before. It could be Colton Sissons. It could be a younger player like Trennan, because we want more size and physicality on our top two lines. So I think we've got a lot of different type of guys that can do different things based on our needs. So, and then it then gets back to the, what, you know, experimentation, and what if we broke up the top line? That's what last year, if you remember, we started off with Forsberg playing with Duchene, and, you know, for the first 10 games, they were lights out. And I think they both had 5 goals at that point. And who knows if that might be something that we should try again, but we have all the players in place. Now we got to get them on the right seats, or in this case, the right lines.
All right, Justin Bradford, go away. Go for it.
Hi, David. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us. You mentioned Luke Cunningham. Just wanted to get your thoughts on how the contract negotiations are going on with him, because I know he was not part of the arbitration hearings or anything of that sort. So just how are negotiations going with Cunningham's team?
Yeah, we have two restricted free agents. Cunningham, as you mentioned, Rem Pitlick, and we're, you know, talking to them on a daily basis to hopefully, you know, get something done with both of those players. And as soon as we have an update on that, we will let you know.
Next up, Stephen Wino from the Associated Press.
Hey, David, thank you very much for doing this. Obviously, Tampa showed when you add kind of grit and toughness to a skilled team that you can go deep in the playoffs. I'm wondering how much of that was a conscious decision on your part, adding a Borowiecki, just to have that little bit, not even just physical toughness, but being a harder team to play against at forward and on defense.
Well, I think we can, we'd all agree with what you just said and acknowledge that, you know, Tampa Bay a year ago in their President's Trophy season, yet they lost out in the first round to a more physical team than in Columbus. Whether that was the whole reason why they lost, it certainly feels that was part of it. 2 years ago, St. Louis won the Stanley Cup, and they have a very big and pretty much physical team. You know, I think we've had a good team the last couple of years, but, you know, for whatever reasons, that the fits, the chemistries, how we played, it just wasn't good enough on a consistent basis. So, you know, going back to a little bit to our roots of maybe what we did a few few years ago. I think that's probably what all we did. I still think we got a pretty highly skilled team with a top four defenseman, and I think we got five or six really high skilled forwards, but it's a team game, and it takes all different types of guys to be successful. So, you know, we weren't as successful as we wanted to be in the last couple of years, and we've made, you know, we've made a few changes to hopefully get a more consistent team and be able to play at a more consistent and higher level. So we'll have to see how it plays out.
Next up is Paul Scarbino.
Hey, David. Hope you're doing well. Just wondering, just two questions. One, how much is the landscape, the dynamics of free agency and the trade market based on everything that's happened this year? How much is it, how different has it been from your perspective in terms of just the kind of contracts guys are signing, where they're willing to go, how, you know, the terms of those contracts and the lengths? And also, second question, kind of unrelated, but what, do you feel, you know, last year you made the big Duchesne sign. Did you feel like this year, were you a little more hesitant to do that, to maybe try to see what you have first and then make improvements later?
Well, the first question really leads into the second question. I mean, COVID-19, a flat cap, a lot of teams could hardly even participate in free agency because of where they were. And that was a reflection of the length of contracts were signed. In some cases, the amount of salary that was paid, I believe, I just saw a stat after the first day. I don't know the total now, but it was a third of the money spent, and the term was way down. We are anticipating that we're going to have a flat cap for a couple of years because of the COVID-19 and because of the uncertainty even going forward to next season. Are we starting as January 1 as hoped, or are we playing 82 games? Are we playing a condensed season? All these questions are up in the air. So I think you've got to be really disciplined and really responsible in terms of your signings. And again, today, you know, there are a few teams that are in cap problems. They have got to move some players or do some things to be cap compliant before the start of the season. We find ourselves in a pretty good position here, as I said in my opening remarks, to be under the cap and have some flexibility. So I do think we have a you know, pretty talented hockey club, and you know, the players that we signed were not necessarily the first line players or guys that demand the most money, but they were a certain type of player that I think would fit into our team and thus fit into our salary structure. So it is different for sure, Paul, this year with the flat cap and the uncertainty going forward.
Next up, Tracy Myers from NHL.com.
Hi, David. Thanks so much for doing this. Some people don't like to speak to this. I don't know if you would want to comment as far as Taylor Hall, how many discussions you did have with him and the nature of the discussions you did have, if there were any.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea for me to ever discuss anything like who I talked to or who I didn't talk to. I guess I hope my best answer would be that we were pretty thorough in what we wanted to do and who we wanted to talk to, and we spent a lot of time on the phone the last four or five days. And again, there's also a lot of players that think that they could be a good fit here in Nashville. So if we, for some reason, didn't call a player, we received a lot of calls. So I hope you understand. I don't think it serves me a good purpose to say I talked to somebody and you know, it didn't happen or what have you. So I hope you can respect that.
There you go, Predators general manager. That was some of his talks today with the media, and that's brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. What stood out to you guys? Or, Willie, I'll start with you. What stood out?
Well, I think the first question I think everybody has, and it's unclear what the answer is are you finished? Is this it? Or is there another move to be made? I think you heard David Poile say, if this is what we have, I kind of like what we have. But I think if you read between the lines, I still think when you hear him say there's a lot of flexibility that they have under the cap, and a lot of teams don't have that flexibility. We can get into this with Elliot Friedman here in about 5 minutes. But I think he feels like somewhere along the line, it may not be tomorrow or this week, but somewhere down the line they can find one more piece to maybe put on that second line with Matt Duchesne. That's just my read on it. I don't know if you guys agree or not.
Yeah, I kind of took it that way too. I get the vibe that he's not done. You know, we know that Hoffman's still out there and, you know, maybe a few others that, but he's also being smart about it. And the moves that he has made so far are very cost effective, but also I think roster effective. I like the moves he's made. I was talking to Paul McCann and Brent Peterson last night. We're all kind of on the same page. You know, this team got more grit, got some of the things that it was looking for, but I do agree that second line continues to be a question mark and a bit of a concern for me because you're putting a lot of eggs in the Ellie Tolvanen basket if you don't make another move to complement that second line. And again, you got to see what you have. Does he have it or does he not? But I still would like to see another piece. So just kind of have to wait and see.
I've had several Predators fans reach out to me and that, what I think, they're not happy. Is this it, really? And I just keep coming back to the same stuff that I've been saying since the beginning, that first show after they were eliminated by the Coyotes. My message has not changed one bit, and I'll continue to say it. Whether it's right, we'll find out. It's just kind of like what David Poile just said. If this is what it is, then hopefully these are the right moves, and we won't know till we see it on the ice. I said vehemently, afterwards, this team has got to get tougher. Like, it needs more 40 grit sandpaper. That was my message right out of the gates. This team has got to get tougher. Have they done that? Well, it looks like on paper they have. I have also said this team has got to get out of the business of long, lucrative contracts for a while. They need to let that breathe for a while. They need to let that settle and push that to the side for a while. Like, that's it. Roman Josi and that's it. They need to let that go for a bit. They haven't done that this offseason. The contracts that they're doing are short. They're not exactly expensive. And so I just think they need to give that a rest. Everything that I have thought they have done, they were going to do. Like, there has been no shock value at all, other than I would say the Nick Bonino trade was a little bit surprising. But really, there's been nothing earth-shattering to anything they've done. And that's kind of been my comeback to a lot of Predators fans who are concerned. I'm like, well, what are you concerned? What have they done that has you blown away, that's blown your mind? If it's, it's not been the same offseason as maybe some in the past, well, actually, the last couple have been very non-eventful. It's just been keeping everything together. It's been status quo. And by the way,
PK Subban out, Matt Duchene in was pretty significant, but not a high volume.
But there hasn't been.
There's more of a volume of moves this year. There's more player turnover this year, right? They're turning over a good 7 or 8 guys.
Yes, PK Subban trade and Duchene signing were big. They were big. And so there hasn't been that big wow factor in the press conferences. Okay, fine. So be it. How's that worked out? Like, I'm kind of over the whole star power name value. Like, that hasn't been working. Yeah, everybody wanted Matt Duchene for 2 years, and all you've done is complain about Matt Duchene. So guess what? So far, I would say it's a mixed bag. That's what you wanted, and it's happened, and you've spent a lot of time complaining about it. That's the one thing that I'll continue to say about Matt Duchene. I'm kind of over this, we need to pump up Matt Duchene. Matt Duchene's getting paid to be a star. That's what he's getting paid. He's got a big, massive contract with a lot of money attached to it. And I don't really want to hear guys that are getting paid like stars, they need to be pumped up around them. Those guys are supposed to make everybody else around them better, not the guys around them making them better. So I kind of want that narrative to go away, because quite honestly, I'm getting aggravated by it, because it's the same stuff I heard for years about Mariota that used to aggravate me. No, Mariota needs to make everybody around him better. Not the Titans trying to do everything in their power to prop up their so-called star quarterback. Okay, their star quarterback is supposed to make everybody around them better. That's how it works sports.
It's got to come from him. It's got to because on this team, now that they have sacrificed scoring depth for grit, that was clearly the goal. It was stated going in, and this is what they have going out. It's even more on Matt Duchene and the top scoring guys that they still have, and they still got plenty of them, but now those guys have to produce. They're going to get the ice time to do it. And then the other part of it is, as they've addressed the grit, how much can Cousins and Richardson and Cunnan and Borowiecki help you win without necessarily scoring a lot of goals. I think they want some goals from Cunnan, right? 20 goals is reasonable, a reasonable goal eventually for a guy that young who was a first-round pick. But Cousins isn't going to score a lot of goals, and neither is Borowiecki, neither is Richardson. But those guys can help you win if they mix together well, right? That's the idea anyway, that the will, what they bring to the table will help you win even though you're not going to pencil them. You're not going to draft them on your fantasy team for scoring.
And that's okay. So what I'm getting at is, as of right now, I'm fine with it. That's been my message. Now, time will tell. We have no idea, just kind of like what David Poyle said. Time will tell whether this was good or not. But I am not in any panic mode. I am not in any, oh, my gosh, really? This is what they're trotting out there? No, this team needed to get younger. By the way, that was the other layer. This team needed to get younger. Well, guess what? They have. They've gotten a lot younger. And so, to me, they've done everything that I expected them to do. So I don't have an issue with it. But now we need to see it play out. I understand that. All right, we'll come back. Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet to start the final hour. That's next.